From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Friday, October 18th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Maine has no known fossil fuel reserves, but it's found a way to produce plenty of pipeline-quality natural gas. Companies are transforming methane emissions from cow manure and decomposing trash into so-called renewable natural gas, often touted as a way to curb climate warming pollution. But environmental critics say the promise of homegrown gas is being oversold, and they say it only tethers consumers to the gas pipeline infrastructure at a time when Maine should be focused on new, non-polluting energy sources. Peter McGuire takes us to Clinton, where Maine's first gas plant is running at full tilt.
At Peaks Renewables, millions of gallons of manure gets trucked in from nearby farms, pumped into a 125,000-gallon holding tank, and piped into an anaerobic digester the size of a football field. Manure cooks for about a month. Remaining solids and liquids are filtered out and returned to farmers for livestock bedding and fertilizer. The gas gets pumped into a refiner that scrubs out impurities such as carbon dioxide and hydrogen sulfide. Finally, the end product, 90% methane, is ready to get piped into homes, says Peaks Renewables President Angus King III, son of the sitting U.S. Senator.
Instead of buying gas from Pennsylvania or Russia or wherever else it happens to come from, it's coming from right here, which I think is a pretty exciting thing.
Cow manure emits methane, a greenhouse gas 80 times more potent than carbon dioxide, and it typically sits in big farm lagoons, polluting the atmosphere. King says that's putting a valuable resource to waste. In fact, this plant makes enough gas to fuel about 2,500 homes, almost half the residential customers of its parent company, Summit Natural Gas.
It's really taking advantage of the infrastructure we have, taking advantage of the heritage farming that we have, and capturing those emissions and then putting them to beneficial use.
Meanwhile, an hour up I-95 in Old Town, a subsidiary of British Petroleum called Archaea Energy quietly started processing gas from the state-owned Juniper Ridge landfill this year. It could provide enough energy to heat 11,000 homes. 2 years ago, the landfill was Maine's single largest recorded source of methane pollution. Gas collected there was just burned off, says Jeff Weld, a spokesperson for Casella, the company that manages the facility.
You could simply flare that landfill gas and limit your emissions overall, but that landfill gas has significant value if you put it into a system like this.
Bangor Natural Gas has agreed to connect the landfill refinery to its network with a pipeline. Weld says until that's finished, gas is getting trucked to a pipeline in Elliott, 200 miles to the south. Regulators recently decided it was in the public interest to expand Juniper Ridge by 60 acres and add 11 years to its lifespan.
Landfills are bad for human health, they're bad for the environment, they're bad for the climate.
Emily Green, an attorney for Conservation Law Foundation, says gas production just incentivizes landfilling, which is supposed to be the last resort for waste disposal in Maine. Green says the whole idea that renewable gas is a cleaner alternative is misleading. Regardless of its source, consuming gas produces carbon dioxide. At the same time, Maine is trying to cut emissions.
Slapping that like green or renewable or eco label on there doesn't change that fundamental premise, which is you are burning methane to heat homes. And that's a problem.
And adding gas sources means using, or expanding, pipelines that leak methane into the air and homes, risking the environment and human health, says Jack Shapiro with the Natural Resources Council of Maine. He says consumers could be paying for that infrastructure well into the future.
Every time we switch over to a gas system, we're sort of locking in pollution for years to come.
Maine is not a major user of natural gas. It has the third lowest per capita gas use in the country. But even if every waste source in the state was tapped into production, they could still only supply a third of the state's annual demand, according to the American Gas Association. Dylan Chase from the Coalition for Renewable Natural Gas acknowledges the resource has limits, but it is growing by leaps and bounds nationwide.
Awareness around methane is starting to grow, and I think with that, wider uptake of RNG as a solution to manage methane.
Back in 2011, there were just 31 operating plants in North America, Chase adds. Today, there are close to 500, with about 400 more in development. And Peaks Renewables says it is trying to contract with more farms to increase that plant's output. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Maine Utilities will use a $65 million federal grant to modernize the state's electric grid and connect more clean energy resources. Funding from the U.S. Department of Energy will pay for installation of smart grid technology that will let Central Maine Power and Versant Power monitor electricity in real time. State Energy Office Director Dan Burgess says that will allow them to direct energy where it is needed and ease congestion.
Those new kind of cutting-edge software and hardware technologies that are going to help us get more out of the grid that we have today.
Burgess says efficiency upgrades can also avoid costly new infrastructure needed to connect solar and wind to the grid. Dedicated funding to train hundreds of Mainers for jobs in the energy sector is also included in the award. Northern Light Health asked three of its leaders to resign this week under a plan aimed at reducing costs. Patty White reports.
The presidents of Northern Light Eastern Maine Medical Center in Bangor, Inland Hospital in Waterville, and the Northern Light Foundation have all resigned. The healthcare system says the decisions were difficult but necessary as they work to cut operational costs and establish a, quote, smaller, more nimble leadership team. The president of Northern Light Sebasticook Valley Hospital will now also lead Inland Hospital, and the president of Mercy Hospital will also head up the Northern Light Foundation. Northern Light has named an interim president at Eastern Maine Medical Center and will search for a replacement in the spring. Earlier this month, Moody's downgraded Northern Light's credit rating because it had $620 million in outstanding debt as of September 30th. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
A new study finds that lobsters are relocating to new habitats in the Gulf of Maine. As Nicola Grisco reports, the findings could have implications for how the lobster stock is measured and how the fishery is managed.
Lobsters have typically favored rocky boulders and use those habitats as shelter. But a research team with the University of Maine finds that the use of those habitats dropped by 60% over the last 25 years or so. Lobsters are instead spending more time in sandy open spaces or residing under beds of algae. Oceanography professor Damian Brady says the findings challenge common assumptions fisheries managers have had about the species and the methods used to survey and assess populations.
The implications are that I just count up as much good habitat as out there and say, you know, that's the maximum amount of lobsters that should be in this area. And now we really can't hang our hat on that.
The study finds that lobsters are more widely distributed and venturing out into deeper waters as the temperature in the Gulf of Maine has risen by 3 degrees Celsius over the last 2 to 3 decades. And researchers say the average lobster is larger today than it was 25 years ago. But a majority are still under the minimum legal size to be caught and sold. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us for Weekend Edition tomorrow morning at 8 with Carol Bousquet. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.